turn to Genesis chapter 29. Genesis 29. Last week we left Jacob in the wilderness, and he had the dream about the ladder reaching up into heaven. And God came to him there, and he committed himself to God. And then we see what happens next here in chapter 29. And so I'm going to begin reading here, Genesis 29, 1. Then Jacob went on his journey and came into the land of the people of the east. And he looked, and behold, a well in the field. And lo, were three flocks of sheep lying by it. For out of that well they watered the flocks, and a great stone was upon the well's mouth. And thither were all the flocks gathered, and they rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the sheep, and put the stone again upon the well's mouth in his place. And Jacob said unto them, My brethren, whence be ye? And they said, Of Haran we are. And he said unto them, Know ye Laban, the son of Nahor? And they said, We know him. And he said unto them, Is he well? They said, He is well. And behold, Rachel, his daughter, cometh with the sheep. And he said, Lo, it is high day, neither it is time that the cattle should be gathered together. Water ye the sheep, and go and feed them. And they said, We cannot until all the flocks be gathered together, till they roll the stone from the well's mouth. Then we water the sheep. And while he yet spake with them, Rachel came with her father's sheep, for she kept them. And it came to pass, when Jacob saw Rachel, the daughter of Laban, his mother's brother, and the sheep of Laban, his mother's brother, that Jacob went near, and rolled the stone from the well's mouth, and watered the flock of Laban, his brother. And Jacob kissed Rachel, and he lifted up his voice and wept. And Jacob told Rachel that he was her father's brother, and that he was Rebekah's son. And she ran and told her father. And it came to pass, when Laban heard the tidings of Jacob, his sister's son, that he ran to meet him, and embraced him, and kissed him, and brought him to his house. And he told Laban all these things. And Laban said to him, Surely thou art bone, are my bone and my flesh. And he abode with him the space of a month. And Laban said unto Jacob, Because thou art my brother, shouldest thou therefore serve me for naught? Tell me, what shall thy wages be? And Laban had two daughters. The name of the elder was Leah, and the name of the younger was Rachel. Leah was tender-eyed, but Rachel was beautiful and well-favored. Jacob loved Rachel and said, I will serve thee 7 years for Rachel, thy younger daughter. And Laban said, It is better that I give her to thee than I should give her to another man. Abide with me. And Jacob served 7 years for Rachel, and they seemed unto him but a few days for the love he had to her. And Jacob said unto Laban, Give me my wife, for my days are fulfilled, that I may go in unto her. And Laban gathered together all the men of the place and made a feast. And it came to pass in the evening that he took Leah, his daughter, and brought her to him and went in unto her. And Laban gave unto his daughter Leah Zilpah, his maid for an handmaid. And it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. And he said to Laban, What is this thou hast done unto me? Did I not serve with thee for Rachel? Wherefore then hast thou beguiled me? And Laban said, It must not be so done in our country to give the younger before the firstborn. Fulfill her week, and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. And Jacob did so and fulfilled her week, and he gave him Rachel, his daughter, to wife also. And Laban gave to Rachel, his daughter, Bilhah, his handmaid, to be her maid. And he went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. And Leah conceived and bare a son, and she called his name Reuben. For she said, Surely the Lord hath looked upon my affliction. Now therefore my husband will love me. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, Because the Lord hath heard that I was hated, he hath therefore given me this son. And she called his name Simeon. And she conceived again and bare a son, and said, Now this time will my husband be joined unto me, because I have borne him 3 sons. Therefore was his name called Levi. And she conceived again and bare a son. And she said, Now will I praise the Lord. Therefore she called his name Judah and left bearing. In a business class at the University of Wisconsin, students had to interview a number of local people and write a report. One student thought the assignment was a waste of time until he spoke with a 78-year-old farmer.
And he asked the old man, "How much education do you have?" And the old man said, "Well, I had 6 years of schooling, and then I had 72 years of learning." And that's how much education he had. When we left Jacob last week, he was in the wilderness. He was in the wilderness, this picture here. And he had made a commitment to God at the end of chapter 28 there. And he was committed to serving God there. But that does not mean that God was done with Jacob. Jacob still had a lifetime of learning in God's school. And we see here in this passage of Scripture the way in which God went about teaching Jacob some lessons and the other people in Jacob's family. Jacob still needed to learn in God's school. And I want to point out three methods that God uses in dealing with his people, dealing with us. And I'm not going to cover every detail of this chapter, but just hit the highlights. But in the first verses here of chapter 29, we see how Jacob was led to his wife, Rachel. Here he was in the wilderness, and he comes to a well, and he comes to people that are by that well, and he asks them a question, you know, "Where are we?" And he finds out that he's near Haran. And he comes to find out that he's near Laban's family. And then he comes to find out that, wouldn't you know it, Rachel is on her way to the well with her sheep. Wouldn't you know it? What a coincidence that Jacob was there in that place at just the right time. And then he learns of Laban, and wouldn't you know it, that's exactly what his dad had told, where his dad and mom had told him to go, to Laban's house. Laban was the brother of Jacob's mother, and that's where he was instructed to go. And, you know, I don't think Jacob had his GPS set to go to Haran. He was just out there in the wilderness, and lo and behold, he finds the place that he was supposed to go to. And I think that shows us the first way that God deals with us, that God deals with Jacob, and that is that God providentially directs. God providentially directs. Of course, we know that none of these things just happened. Jacob didn't just happen to find a well, to be near Haran, to be near Laban's family, to happen to meet Rachel, his future wife, coming with the sheep. None of that just happened. God was providentially directing every step in Jacob's life. God was in charge. And God providentially directs in our lives too. Proverbs 16:33 says, "The lot is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Lord." That's one passage of Scripture that just reminds us that there is no random thing. There are no random events in our lives. God's providence is present even in the small things which don't seem to matter so much. You know, we may be delayed unexpectedly in traffic. Why would God allow that? Well, God's in control of that. God has providential control over the traffic. God has providential control over the people you happen to run into at the store, over the people that you happen to receive a letter from, someone you have the opportunity to speak with. And we need to learn to recognize and appreciate God's hand in the details of our lives and take comfort in that, because that is one way that God deals with us. He deals with us providentially. It may seem like some random thing has happened, but we have to remember, God's in control of those details. The weather, he's in control of the weather. There are no surprises for God, and the same was true in Jacob's life. God was providentially directing him, and he led his steps to be right in the place where he needed to be to meet his future wife and future father-in-law, and the Lord led him there. So that's the first way. God providentially directs. And then we see what happens next in this story. Jacob wants to get married. And he sees Laban has one beautiful daughter in his view, and he wants to marry the beautiful one. And so he agrees that he would serve Laban for these 7 years. And then his wedding comes up, and they have whatever they do for the wedding, and they go home, the bride and the groom. And as it says in verse 25, it came to pass that in the morning, behold, it was Leah. It's the wrong one. And Jacob discovers that somebody had deceived him. Imagine that. Laban, his father, is he's a deceiver. And I think we see here another way that God deals with us, and that is that God lovingly disciplines us. And we see that that discipline is sometimes a taste of our own medicine. And I think that's what was going on here. Remember this story? That's the first time that Jacob was a little bit deceptive. And then after that, remember what happened? He pretended to be Esau, and he deceived his dad. And now we come to a point in Jacob's life where Jacob gets a little bit of his own medicine here. Jacob had deceived his father by presenting himself as Esau, the firstborn. Now Laban deceives Jacob by presenting to him Leah, the firstborn, disguised as Rachel, the younger. Jacob gets a little bit of his own medicine. I think that's pretty easy to see what's going on here. Matthew Henry calls it like this. He says, it's easy to observe here how Jacob was paid in his own coin. He dishes out the deceptive coins, and now he gets a little bit of it back. It's a taste of his own medicine. And I think we see a principle here in the scripture, and that is, as Galatians 6:7 says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Sometimes God, in his loving discipline, as a father, chooses to use some of the things that perhaps we have done in the past, that we have dished out to others. God may order it so that we get a little bit of that in return. And it's a loving thing that God does. It's not vindictive. It's the principle of you reap what you sow. And God does that to Jacob. God deals with Jacob in that way. I want to point out also that that discipline that Jacob experiences here is a consequence of sin. It's a consequence of sin. There's a lot of sin in this chapter, and one of the sins belongs to Laban. You know, Laban was deceptive here. He messed things up for Jacob and for his daughters also. Another one of the sins has to do with the polygamy of Jacob. You know, the Bible tells us that a man should only marry one woman. And it's very clear about that. 1 Corinthians 7:2, Matthew 19:4-5 speak of that. And yet we see the opposite of that happening. But we see the negative consequences of that here in this chapter. We see the tension that that created in Jacob's home. It was a sin. And, Jacob, in their period of time here in Bible history, what they had as far as the clear revealed will of God at this point about those issues, we don't know exactly. They didn't have 1 Corinthians 7 and Matthew 19. And they did have the record of Adam, and what happened in his life and his marriage. But it was a sin, and there were consequences to that. Like I said, the tension that was between Leah and Rachel as they were both the wives of Jacob. And we see even in that God's discipline. And that reminds us that there are consequences to sin in our lives. And, you know, that can be used as a way that God disciplines us. You know, hopefully it's not polygamy in our case, but it could be something else. And there's a consequence there. And that's used as a reminder. Don't get into that again. You know, kids, when your mom and dad has to discipline you, maybe you get a spanking, what is that? It's a reminder for you not to do those things again. And it helps you to remember. Yes, there may be a consequence, but it helps you. It's actually a way that your parents love you. And when we see God's discipline in our lives, it's a way that God is reaching out to us as a loving father. God disciplining us. Here he uses some of Jacob's own medicine. We see the discipline as a consequence of human sin as well. So we see how God deals with us. God providentially directs. God lovingly disciplines. And then notice a third way here that we see God dealing. And that has to do with the family that God provides to Jacob's home. We see the record of that beginning in verse 31, all the way down through chapter 30, verse 24. We see all these sons that are born, and one daughter that are born into Jacob's home. And that is a blessing that God gave to Jacob. You know, children are from the Lord. They are a blessing. They are a reward, as God says, Psalm 127. And that's what was happening here in Jacob's home. And I want you to see how God blesses Jacob. That's the third way that God deals with us. He blesses us graciously. God blesses us graciously. And as we think about that, and we think about Jacob's family, we see that God's gracious blessing, first of all, does not depend on human merit. God's gracious blessing does not depend on human merit. Like I said before, there's a lot of sin in this chapter, in these chapters. And, you know, we see the multiple wives. If we were to read on in chapter 30, we would see that Rachel, not able to have children at the beginning of the chapter, and so she gives her maid to Jacob. And then Leah turns around, does the same thing. After she's done bearing children for a time, she gives her maid to Jacob and has a couple sons through him. And, you know, that's not right as far as marriage and what God expects in a marriage. You know, that was not right. But God was blessing Jacob. God was graciously blessing Jacob. And I think we see in that a reminder that it did not depend on human merit, God's gracious blessing. Jacob sinned, Laban sinned, Leah and Rachel sinned. They all did not deserve God's using their family and giving them children. But God blessed them graciously. You know, we need to be careful of getting into the mindset of thinking that we've been pretty good. And so we deserve that God should do something nice for us. That is not an understanding of God's grace. God's grace is given not because you deserve it. Jacob and his family did not deserve God's blessing. But God's grace does not depend on human merit. And that's, of course, a reminder of God's grace and salvation. God's gift of salvation does not depend on human merit. We all are sinners. None of us deserve God's grace and salvation. But God chose to offer it to us anyway. He loves us, and for by grace are ye saved through faith. That not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast, as Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says. And I think we see that truth here. God's gracious blessing does not depend on human merit. And then I want you to notice another thing about God's grace, and that has to do with Leah here at the end of chapter 29. There's a fact about Leah that is pointed out very obviously, and that's in verse 30 of chapter 29. He went in also unto Rachel, and he loved also Rachel more than Leah, and served with him yet 7 other years. And when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb, but Rachel was barren. You know, I can't imagine what it was like in Jacob's home with these two wives, sisters. It doesn't sound like a good situation. And it wasn't a good situation. Can you imagine being Leah in that home? She was not loved as much as Rachel was. That was very obvious to her. Probably very obvious to other people. It was obvious to the Lord. The Lord saw that. And Rachel, or rather Leah, wanted her husband's love. That's obvious as well. As she has these children, you know, verse 32, she has her firstborn. At the end of verse 32, it says, now therefore my husband will love me. And even it continues into Simeon. She says, because the Lord hath heard that I was hated. And she hopes again in verse 34, now this time will my husband be joined unto me. And she obviously has this desire that her husband would love her. She wants that. And I can understand why she would. But Leah, in spite of the fact that she did not have the affection of her husband, Leah had the affection of God. Verse 31, when the Lord saw that Leah was hated, he opened her womb. So, no matter what her husband thought about her, God was gracious to her. And Leah obviously remained faithful to God throughout this whole process. I think as we see her naming her sons, especially at her son there, Judah, in verse 35, she says, now will I praise the Lord. I think the lesson that we see here about God's gracious blessing through Leah is that God's grace does not depend on whether or not we have human approval. God's grace does not depend on whether or not we have human approval. Now, for Leah, that was the affection of her husband. Whether or not she had the affection of Jacob did not affect God's blessing her. And I think there's a principle for us as well. You know, none of us are married to multiple husbands or wives, but there's the principle of our constant desire of the approval of other people. And how often and how much we think that we have to have the approval of, you know, it may be our family, it may be our grandparents, maybe somebody in our church or somebody in the workplace. And we think we have to have that recognition. We have to have that love. We should seek to obey our authorities, you know, children. You know, you should seek to have the approval of your parents. That's a good thing. But does everyone need to know about our good deeds that we do? What if we never earn the appreciation of some members in our family? What if we can never please the boss at work? What if we are never the most popular boy or girl at school? One thing we see from this passage of Scripture is that that does not change the way that God views us. God was gracious and blessed Leah, and it had nothing to do with her husband's approval of her, with her husband's affection for her. She may never have gained that, but it didn't affect God's graciously blessing her. God's grace does not depend on human approval. And then as we go on in this story, we learn about all of the other children that God gave to Jacob's home in chapter 30, verses 1 through 24. And we see a little bit about how that came to be, or at least the events that surrounded that. We see in chapter 30 that there was some tension here. Verse 1, when Rachel saw that she bare Jacob no children, Rachel envied her sister and said unto Jacob, give me children or else I die. Jacob's anger was kindled against Rachel and said, am I in God's stead who hath withheld from thee the fruit of the womb? And she said, behold, my maid Bilhah, go into unto her, and she shall bear upon my knees, that I may also have children by her. And so we see Rachel attempting to manipulate God's plan, giving Jacob her maid. There's some tension there that leads to that. And so we see Dan, Naphtali, are through Rachel's maid Bilhah. And Leah turns around, does the same thing, and she gives Jacob Zilpah, her maid, and Gad and Asher are born through her. And then we see there's this little incident about finding some mandrakes. In verse 14 of chapter 30, Reuben went out in the days of wheat harvest and found mandrakes in the field and brought them unto his mother Leah. And Rachel said to Leah, give me, I pray thee, of thy son's mandrakes. And what ends up happening is Leah hires out her husband for these mandrakes, gives Rachel the mandrakes, and the mandrakes are thought to be, kind of a natural remedy for infertility, for barrenness. And so Rachel wants these, and she thinks that these are going to help her. And then after that happens, we find that Leah bears more children, Issachar, Zebulun, and then a daughter, Dinah. And then we see that Rachel finally has a son down there in verse 22. And God remembered Rachel. God hearkened to her and opened her womb. And she conceived and bare a son and said, God hath taken away my reproach. And she called his name Joseph and said, the Lord shall add to me another son. The thing that stands out to me as we see the record of these sons that are born and this daughter is that we see Leah and Rachel, especially Rachel, trying to manipulate God's plan and trying to do things that will result in more children for themselves. Maybe these mandrakes will help. But what we see here is that God graciously blesses, but it does not depend on human manipulation. That's the third thing we see about God's gracious blessing. God's grace does not depend on human manipulation. You know, Rachel thinks she's got to do something. She's got to give her maid, and then there's these mandrakes that come along. I got to have those, and then it actually ends up to be more children for Leah. And then it comes down to God giving Rachel a son, and it has nothing to do with Rachel's manipulation. God gives it to her. God gives Joseph to her. God graciously gives a son to Rachel. Had nothing to do with the manipulation. So God blesses graciously, and it does not depend on human merit. These people are sinners. They're getting into a lot of trouble. God still graciously blesses them. It doesn't depend on human merit. God's grace does not depend on human approval. Leah did not have the affection and approval of her husband, yet God blessed her over and over again in quick succession with children. God's grace doesn't depend on human manipulation. In the end, God gave Rachel a son. But I think if there's one way that we can see how we receive God's grace, one activity that is associated with receiving God's grace in this chapter that you might say we need to be practicing, it is prayer. Asking God to be gracious to us. In spite of their faults, we see both of these women, Leah and Rachel, in prayer regarding God's blessing with them with children. We see that with Leah back up in chapter 29. And verse 33, it's evident that she was praying, because she says, "Because the Lord hath heard that I was hated." The same is true with Rachel. Down there in verse 22 of chapter 30, God remembered Rachel, and God hearkened to her and opened her womb. It's evident that they were praying about this problem. They were asking God to be gracious to them. And though it's not something that gains favor in the sight of God necessarily, prayer is something that unleashes God's blessing. It's closely associated with God's gracious blessing, prayer. And these ladies evidently were practicing that. God rewarded them with an answer to their prayers. So God is dealing with Jacob and his family in many different ways. You might say that this was Jacob's salvation point here when he was at Bethel and he saw God, or he saw that God was with him, and he committed himself to God. But God still had a lot to teach Jacob, and he did that by using his providential direction. And then we see that he has to discipline Jacob as a son, as a father disciplines a son. But then we see that God is blessing Jacob graciously. He doesn't deserve it. None of us deserve it. All of us are sinners. And yet God is gracious to us by giving us forgiveness of our sins, offering that to us freely if we will confess to him. And it doesn't depend if we have the approval of our husbands or wives, our family, our coworkers. God's still gracious to us, even if we don't have the approval of people we want it from. And God's grace does not depend on human manipulation. We think we have to do all these things to get what we think we need. But really, we need to pray to God and ask him to give it to us. And that's how we'll get God's grace. So may the Lord help us to do that. Father in heaven, we thank you for this passage of Scripture from your Word. And we thank you that you are involved in our lives, providentially directing our every step. The details in our life, which we think are random so many times, we know that these are from you. And we thank you, dear Lord, that you take care of us as your children. And most of all, we thank you for your grace, which we do not deserve, which we can never earn. But we thank you that you give it to us, and you give it to us through Christ, the best gift that we could receive. And how we thank you for that tonight. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's take our hymn.